Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today Masechet Nedarim Daf Mem Ches, the fifth parak Hashutafim. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission records an incident in which someone's father was mudra hana from him, and he wanted his father to be able to enjoy his chasna. He therefore gifted the courtyard and banquet to another person, adding, "They are only yours so that my father can attend and join in the meal." The recipient declared that if they are his, he is makdish them. When the giver objected that it was not given to him for such a purpose, he responded, "Nesati li eshalcha el shetehe ata ba'avicha ochim eshosin mitzratin zeh lezeh yi'avon tuli barosho. You gave to me only that you and your father should eat and drink together and appease each other, and the sin will hang on my head for facilitating it." The Chachamim said that any gift that the recipient does not have the ability to be makdish, the gift is not valid and it is not truly his. The Gemara explains that the gift was ineffective here because hochiach sofo al tchilaso, the end of a statement showed the true intent of the beginning, meaning by explicitly stating that he was giving it only to allow his father to attend, he never meant for it to become the recipient's. Pointing to the Gemara records an incident in which someone made a netter prohibiting his property on his wayward son, and the Ran adds that he had another son to whom he intended to gift his property before his death. When it was pointed out that his grandson had yet become a Talmud Chacham, he declared, "Likne Adain, Vihavi Bar Brit, Surmim Rabban Likne, let this wayward one acquire half the property, and if my grandson becomes a Talmud Chacham, he will acquire it then." The Pumbedniscian said about this transaction, "Kani al menas lahaknosu." This is a case of acquire in order to transfer to another, in that the wayward son only acquired the property insofar as it would later become his own son's. In their opinion, all such transactions are invalid. Rav Nachman disagreed and said, even such transactions are valid. And pointing with you, Rav Nachman sought to prove that Kani al menas lahaknos is a valid kinyan from a kerchief used to effect chalifin. There the recipient does not keep or use it. His receiving it is only to affect his transacting property to the other party, after which he returns the kerchief. Still, it is sufficient to enable the transaction, which shows that such a transaction is legitimate. Rav Ashi deflected this proof on two accounts. First, Uman le melan de sudare itafiz le lamitbis. Who is to tell us that if he seizes the kerchief, it's not seized, meaning that although the recipient generally returns the kerchief, it's possible that if he chooses to keep it, he may, and that is why receiving the kerchief is able to affect the chalifin. Second, the transaction created by the kerchief is effective immediately while the kerchief is still in the possession of the recipient. But in the case of the wayward son, the act making the transaction is done long before the actual acquisition takes effect, since he only wants the grandson to take possession if and when he becomes a Talmud Chacham, and such a kinyan is ineffective. So once again, the next mission records an incident in which someone's father was mudr hana from him, and he wanted his father to be able to enjoy his chasna. He therefore gifted the courtyard and banquet to another person, adding, "They are only yours so that my father can attend and join in the meal." The recipient declared that if they are his, he is makdish them. When the giver objected that it was not given to him for such a purpose, he responded, "Nesati li eshalcha el shetehe ata ba'avicha ochim eshosin mitzratin zeh lezeh yi'avon tuli barosho. You gave to me only that you and your father should eat and drink together and appease each other, and the sin will hang on my head for facilitating it." The Chachamim said that any gift that the recipient does not have the ability to be makdish, the gift is not valid and it is not truly his. The Gemara explains that the gift was ineffective here because hochiach sofo al tchilaso, the end of a statement showed the true intent of the beginning, meaning by explicitly stating that he was giving it only to allow his father to attend, he never meant for it to become the recipient's. Pointing to the Gemara records an incident in which someone made a netter prohibiting his property on his wayward son, and the Ran adds that he had another son to whom he intended to gift his property before his death. When it was pointed out that his grandson had yet become a Talmud Chacham, he declared, "Likne Adain, Vihavi Bar Brit, Surmim Rabban Likne, let this wayward one acquire half the property, and if my grandson becomes a Talmud Chacham, he will acquire it then." The Pumbedniscian said about this transaction, "Kani al menas lahaknosu." This is a case of acquire in order to transfer to another, in that the wayward son only acquired the property insofar as it would later become his own son's. In their opinion, all such transactions are invalid. Rav Nachman disagreed and said, even such transactions are valid. And pointing with you, Rav Nachman sought to prove that Kani al menas lahaknos is a valid kinyan from a kerchief used to effect chalifin. There the recipient does not keep or use it. His receiving it is only to affect his transacting property to the other party, after which he returns the kerchief. Still, it is sufficient to enable the transaction, which shows that such a transaction is legitimate. Rav Ashi deflected this proof on two accounts. First, Uman le melan de sudare itafiz le lamitbis. Who is to tell us that if he seizes the kerchief, it's not seized, meaning that although the recipient generally returns the kerchief, it's possible that if he chooses to keep it, he may, and that is why receiving the kerchief is able to affect the chalifin. Second, the transaction created by the kerchief is effective immediately while the kerchief is still in the possession of the recipient. But in the case of the wayward son, the act making the transaction is done long before the actual acquisition takes effect, since he only wants the grandson to take possession if and when he becomes a Talmid Chacham, and such a kinyan is ineffective. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Mem Ches, and our standard siman is brainiacs, related to moach. Brainiacs are very bright people, so here goes. The brainiac who immediately detected why a chassan just gifted him with a courtyard and banquet and spoiled his plans. Also from the chassan's father, that his strategy to give his property to his wayward son if his grandson becomes a Talmid Chacham is defective by demonstrating that a kinyan suitor is different. Once again, it's a motion. The brainiac, that must be one Daf Mem Ches, moach, brain. The brainiac who immediately detected why Chassan just gifted him with a courtyard and banquet and spoiled his plans, which reminds us. We have the Maisa Beis Choron where we learn that the Chachamim said that any gift of the recipient does not have the ability to be makdish. The gift is not valid and is not truly his. The Gemara explains that the gift was ineffective here because hochiach sofa al tchilaso, the end of his statement showed the true intent of the beginning, meaning by explicitly saying that he was giving it only to allow his father to attend the chasna, means that he never meant it for it to become the recipient's. So, the brainiac who immediately detected why Chassan just gifted him with a courtyard and banquet and spoiled his plans also informed the Chassan's father that his strategy to give his property to his wayward son if his grandson becomes a Talmid Chacham is defective, which reminds us we have the Machlokas if Kani Amanas L'Haknos, acquire in order to transfer, is effective, such as in the case of one who wants to gift his property to his grandson, the son of his wayward son, if he becomes a Talmid Chacham. So, the brainiac who immediately detected why Chassan just gifted him with a courtyard and banquet and spoiled his plans also informed the Chassan's father that his strategy to give his property to his wayward son if his grandson becomes a Talmid Chacham is defective by demonstrating that a Kinyan Suder is different. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman sought to prove that Kani Amanas L'Haknos is a valid Kinyan from a kerchief used to effect Chalifin. There, the recipient does not keep or use it. His receiving it is only to affect his transacting property to the other party, after which he returns the kerchief. Still, it's sufficient to enable the transaction, which shows that such a transaction is legitimate. Rav Ashi deflected this proof on two accounts. So once again, the brainiac who immediately detected why Chassan just gifted him with a courtyard and banquet and spoiled his plans also informed the Chassan's father that his strategy to give his property to his wayward son if his grandson becomes a Talmid Chacham is defective by demonstrating that a Kinyan Suder is different. All right, so now we go to our four Blah Bach Hazara. Daf Mem Dalad. So the symbol of Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The frustrated man who was Mafkir's property that got covered by a mudslide. Mudslide? That must mean Daf Mem Dalad. Mud. The frustrated man who was Mafkir's property got covered by a mudslide, knowing that he had only 3 days to retract, which reminds us of Brisa taught. One who was Mafkir's field may retract during the first 3 days, but henceforth he cannot retract. The Brisa continues that if he said it should be Hefker for 1 day or other limited periods of time, that he can retract without limitations until someone acquires the field. The Gemara seeks to determine if this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi or the Rabbanan. So the frustrated man who was Mafkir's property that got covered by a mudslide, knowing that he had only 3 days to retract, had second thoughts when his neighbor made a highly unusual hefker for a day, indicating that the field should return to his domain, which reminds us, Ula said that the entire brisa can be the opinion of the Rabbanan. The reason why he can retract his hefker without any time limit is because this case, where he was only Mafkir for a limited time, is highly unusual and indicates that he intends for it to return to his domain. Therefore, we assume he also intends that even while it's hefker, it should remain his until someone acquires it, like Rabbi Yossi holds is the case with every hefker. So, the frustrated man who was Mafkir's property that got covered by a mudslide, knowing that he had only 3 days to retract, had second thoughts when his neighbor made a highly unusual hefker for a day, indicating that the field should return to his domain. So he arose the next morning and harvested his mud-covered vineyard, which was now chayv and peret and olulos, but midaraisa. Pater from Maisa, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges Reish Lakish's opinion from a Braisa that said that one who was Mafkir's vineyard and the next morning arose and harvested it and reacquired it is obligated in Peret and Ola, Shikha and Peah, and is Pater from Maisa. Daf Mem Hei, so the Zimmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. So here goes. The sore loser who is Mafkir's Monopoly board, Monopoly, that must mean we're in Daf Mem Hei, Ma, Monopoly. The sore loser who is Mafkir his monopoly board to two people and then tried to retract, which reminds us, the Gemara explains according to Rabbi Yossi, when Hefker is made in front of two or fewer people, since it will not become publicly known, it seems that the owner intends for it to be taken specifically by one of these people, which is like a gift. A Hefker declared in front of three, on the other hand, will become public knowledge, and Rabbi Yossi agrees in such a case that it is immediately ownerless and he cannot retract. So the sore loser was Mocker's monopoly board to two people, and then tried to retract, didn't realize there were three people present, which enabled one of them to acquire it, and the other two to testify. Which reminds us, the Gemara records Malchokas between Amorayim about how many people must be present for a Hefker to be effective. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, anyone who's Mafker before three people, it's Hefker, but before two people, it's not Hefker, at least as far as being able to retract. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, Devar Torah afil be'echod havi Hefker. By Torah law, even with one person present, it's Hefker. And why do they say to be mafker before three? Kedei she'echod zoche u'shnayim mi'eating, so that one can acquire it and two will be able to testify. This would ensure that the owner would not be able to deny the hefker after it's acquired. So the sore loser who's mafker his monopoly board to two people and then tried to retract, didn't realize there were three people present, which enabled one of them to acquire it and the other two to testify, and couldn't even go home through his jointly owned courtyard to sulk because he and his partner vowed not to benefit from each other. Which reminds us, the first mission, the fifth parak, begins, Hashutafin shenadu hana ze mizeh asurin likanas ochatzer. Partners who vowed not to benefit from each other are forbidden to enter their jointly owned courtyard. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov says, ze niknas letok shelo, ze niknas letok shelo. This one enters his share, and this one enters his share, which means that wherever each one walks in the property is considered his portion. The Gemara in Bava Kama explains that the dispute is rooted in brera, retroactive determination. Daf Mem Vav. So the Siman Daf Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes. The two partners in a courtyard who vowed against each other weren't sure if they were permitted to bring their cows into the courtyard. Cows? That must be one Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The two partners in a courtyard who vowed against each other weren't sure if they were permitted to bring their cows into the courtyard, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis brought a machlokas whether partners in a courtyard who prohibited themselves to derive benefit from one another may make use of the courtyard. The Gemara in our Daf states, but Nadra Pligi, they argue whether partners vowed to forbid themselves from benefiting from each other, and the Gemara asks, Hidiru Zeh Zeh Mai, if they vowed against each other, prohibiting the other from benefiting from himself, what did the Rabbanan hold? The question is left unresolved. So the two partners in a courtyard who vowed against each other weren't sure if they were permitted to bring their cows into the courtyard, which was quite small and didn't have a din chalukah, which reminds us of this machlokas if the Gemara was discussing a courtyard that was large enough to have a din chalukah or not. So, the two partners in a courtyard who vowed against each other weren't sure if they were permitted to bring their cows into the courtyard, which was quite small and didn't have a din chaluka, but did have an awl press which they maintained a holding in, which prevented amud or hana from them from using. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Mem Vav Amud Aleph taught, the one who is amud or hana from his friend and the friend has a bathhouse or awl press in the city, if the owner has a tefisas yad, a holding in it, it's forbidden for him to use. But if he doesn't have a tefisas yad, a holding in it, it is permitted. If the landlord retains a holding in the property, it's still considered his, and the user is benefiting from him. The Gemara here seeks to define what qualifies as a holding, a tefisas yad, which is sufficient to consider the landlord the owner. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The sun running through a corn maze. Maze? That must be more in Daf Mem Zayin. The son running through a corn maze with a diamond that his late father forbade his son from in life and in death, which reminds us, we learn that a person can prohibit his property to others, for even after it is no longer his, from a case where if a father forbade his property to a son explicitly in his lifetime and after his death, and he died, his son does not inherit him, meaning he may not benefit from the inherited property. So the son running through a corn maze with a diamond that his late father forbade his son from in life and in death, wondered if he could exchange the forbidden gem for other goods. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph states that if one makes a konum declaration of particular fruits and then they are exchanged for goods or money, those proceeds are forbidden to him. Rami Bar Chama asked, if he said konum these fruits on ploni, what is the lach regarding these exchanges, meaning goods received in exchange for them? So the son running through a corn maze with a diamond that his late father forbade his son from in life and in death, wondered if he could exchange the forbidden gem for other goods, because his wife's creditors were chasing him after he told her, "Konum my benefit on you." Which reminds us, Rav Acher bar Manyumi suggested a proof that exchanged goods for a prohibited item are permitted to be used from a brice which taught, if one says to his wife, "Konum my benefit to you," she can borrow for her needs, and the creditors come and collect from the husband, which is chayv to support her, but he cannot do so directly because of his net. The Gemara considers this arrangement of the wife borrowing, whereby the husband becomes chayv to pay the creditors as if she exchanged his property for the loan money, yet it's permitted. The Gemara answers that in this case, it might be permitted because it's an indirect exchange. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we have the question if partners vowed against each other, whether they're prohibited from using their joint courtyard? That's on Duff Memvav. Good number two. Which stuff do you learn that a Kenyan suitor cannot be brought as proof that Kani Almanaso Haknos is effective? That's on Daf. Memches. Good number three. Which stuff do you learn that Rami Bar Chama asked, if one said konim these fruits on Pony, what is the halach regarding their exchanges, meaning goods received in exchange for them? That's on Daf. Mem Zayin. Good number three. Which thing when the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says one can be mafkir with one person present, but three are required so one can acquire it and two can testify? That's on Dav. Mem Hey. Good number four. Which definitely the case where one wanted to gift his grandson, the son of his wayward son, if the grandson became a Talmud Chacham? That's on Dav. Memches. Good number five. Which have they learned that if an owner has tfisas yad, a holding, in a merchatz or all press, that one who is mudah hanah from him may not use it? That's on Dav. Memvav. Good number six. Which stuff do we have the incident of Beis Horon where we learn that the gift was ineffective here because the end of a statement showed the true intent of the beginning? That's on Dav. Memches. Good number seven. Which stuff do we learn that if a father forbade his property to his son explicitly in his lifetime and after his death, and he died, his son does not inherit him? That's on Dav. Mem Zayin. Good number eight. Which stuff do we learn that Ula says when one is only mafker for a limited time, it's highly unusual and indicates that one intends for it to return to his domain? That's on Dav. Mem Dalad. Good number nine. Which up the one if one says to his wife, Konum my benefit to you, she can borrow for her needs, and the creditors can come and collect from her husband. That's on Dav. Mem Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we have a case where one was Mafkir's vineyard, and the next morning arose and harvested it and reacquired it? That's on Dav. Mem Dalad. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.